Hi everyone, my name is Dan Plastina, and we're here with Gagan Gulati, and I'll be presenting you Information Protection Everywhere. This particular talk is targeted at the solution provider or deployment partner. We'll have a similar talk for our customers or field, Microsoft field, in the future. During this presentation, if you have any questions, please send them to askipteam@microsoft.com. We'll answer those questions without disclosing any information about who asked them. And if you're watching this presentation after the recording, you should be able to still use this alias, and we'll send you back an FAQ of the common questions and or answer your question directly and add it to the FAQ. Thank you. Why this gathering? Well, we'd like your partnership. We're all in the information protection space. There's 110 of us on the call today, 110 different companies, all building products that effectively offer about the same thing. None of us meet the customer needs as cited. I meet with a lot of customers, probably 3 to 5 a week in the enterprise sector, as well as mid-size sector. And not one of the customers has said, I'm happy about my information protection story. Not a single one. So with opportunity abound, we are somehow not meeting the needs of this customer. And I think it's because we're going to need to partner. So we want to help break the cycle. This call is about that. And we want to go after helping our customers. We know that Microsoft is well suited to do some of the work, but not all of it. And we recognize that solution partners play a very key role. Microsoft tends to be a little bit more like a Costco or a Home Depot. We sell premium product, but we tend to do it a little bit more bulk style. And some of the solution partners that have done great work in this particular space tend to cater to the individual needs of smaller sectors. Healthcare and manufacturing have very diverse needs, and yet they're customers of both of us, and we need to support them. So we'd love to basically work together and streamline a partner play here so that as we address the asks of our customers, we're better able to provide them with solutions. We think this can be a lucrative offer simply based on the number of customers that we're dealing with and that need end-to-end solutions in this space. So I'll start by framing out the presentation today with a dream that we have. The dream is pretty straightforward. We'd like to see information protection deployed en masse. Everyone should have it. Everybody needs it. That will start with support for information protection on all important platforms. That's certainly not the case today, and I'll dive into these details as we talk more today. Customers should be able to collaborate across boundaries. There's two boundaries of importance, business to business and business to individual. There are some consumer plays, but we're not focused on that right now as a group, so I'm sticking to these two. And collaboration here should be really as simple as it is to collaborate without having security measures. So if you can send unprotected email, you should be able to send protected email. If you can share files in an unprotected manner through these cloud storage providers such as SkyDrive, you should be able to do so in a protected manner as well. Information protection should support protection of all file types. Today we often say that half of the files in a company are Office and those are well protected. And sometimes we're proud of that, and sometimes we understand that it's only half of the files that the customer needs to protect. So we have to find a way to do protection of all file types. We'll talk more about that as well. We should be able to protect data in all kinds of different data stores. Today, the focus is on unstructured data or file data, and we'd like to be able to protect data in stores such as SQL or SAP. Finally, there's a series of naturally related scenarios that we should just address as we're addressing a revamp of the overall information protection sector. And for example, e-signatures or electronic signatures are a very natural extension to the normal pattern of an RMS document sharing session. So if two lawyers across two companies are sharing legal documents, there's absolutely no reason why those documents shouldn't support the ability to sign them or have attestation strength that says, I, Dan, at the time I sent you this doc, was in fact an employee of my company, Contoso. In the process of enabling IP deployments to happen all over, we want to make sure that we're not taking some fairly strange shortcuts. If one looks at the Gartner hype cycle, for example, you can see that there's tons and tons of implementations for protecting information, but all of them go after a small portion of the overall offer. Encryption gateways are very popular these days, as are security bubbles on mobile devices. but both have severe limitations in the way that they approach the problem. So part of our dream is making sure that we approach this in the way that information was meant to be protected, in other words, as part of the information, regardless of where it goes, and regardless of how it's used. An important part of this dream is creating a partner community, and I'm personally very committed to this. So we want to make sure that there's a sustainable offering and a thriving ability for partners to do well in the space. At the end of the day, the name of the game for me is to say that we have complete IP and DLP solutions for our customers so that they can solve their migration problems, especially as they start using the cloud more and more. So for those of you I've worked with, I know that many on the call I've had personal interactions with. Thanks for being here, first off. And then secondarily, I tend to be a pretty candid person, so I'm just going to walk you through what I will be asking of you come the end of presentation. The first one is I'd love for the partners online here to start using Microsoft's ERM base offer. ERM, Enterprise Rights Management, basically the way we protect content through RMS is a very simple base offer. I believe like the TCP/IP stack story where 10 years ago you'd pay $20, $30 for one of these and now it's just part of the operating system. Nobody would dare thinking of paying for an IP stack. Well, ERM is going to go through a cycle relatively quickly where it'll be ubiquitous and it'll be a less profitable sector to have 10 people in. Another important aspect of us sharing a similar ERM base offer is collaboration will never work if everybody's encrypting their content in different ways. So we definitely have to get in sync on how we share data across businesses. I feel that the highly lucrative portion of the sector in this space is, in fact, the higher end DLP sector or the reporting sector, and helping out the vertical segment needs. I'll go through two full slides of offers or opportunities that I see as large gaps and I actually see as quite lucrative as well. So we'll talk more about that towards the end of the presentation. I'd like for you to partner with us. We're the platform team within Microsoft that does information protection. Others build on us within the company. So for example, Exchange and Office 365 are based on the RMS offer. So we're not the Office 365 team or the Exchange team. We do work with them, and we'd like to work with you. We'd like for you to sponsor your brightest in this space to become most valuable players, or MVPs as Microsoft calls them, and I'll give more detail on how to sign up to become an MVP later on. We'd like to coordinate with these key partners as a group to build complementary offers. I'd love to be able to go into a customer. I won't name any here online, but I do talk with many of the largest. And when I talk with them about solutions, if they're in the manufacturing sector, I would love to talk about products that help make information protection in the manufacturing sector better. Finally, we're about to embark on a push, if you wish, for information protection to get it deployed in the hundreds of millions. It's been more niche, and part of the reason for that has been limitations in the offer, and those limitations, as you'll see today, are now gone, and so we definitely want to go after this and make this quite ubiquitous. So we'd like your help in making that happen. And finally, why now? As I just said, most of the largest blocking issues are gone or will soon be gone, and now we're effectively overdue to go after this and help our customers. So with that, let me start talking about sort of this new RMS offer that we've built over the last 12 to 14 months, because it has changed substantially. The first aspect of this vNext offer is RMS is both an on-prem offer and a cloud offer. On-premise is AD RMS. Many of you are familiar with that. Ships in the server product now. And in the cloud is known as Azure Active Directory Rights Management, or AADRM. During this presentation, I may lapse and call it RMSO, RMS Online. That's the quick nickname we give it for RMS when in Azure. So here we talk about three things. So you can do a full-on premise deployment, as many customers do today. And with Office 365, which we'll give you a demo of, we've enabled a full in-cloud offer for the Office 365 suite of services. Someone like TurboTax, for example, could easily build a similar service to the O365 service for the purpose of protecting tax documents in a B2I type scenario where the business TurboTax is sharing to individuals. So we see these as both very important portions of the customer topology, but the hybrid configuration will be a very, very important one for us. And we'll see a beta of this in the coming months, where effectively what will happen is we will let a customer that is an on-prem customer that may desire to keep their documents and email on-prem be able to use RMS in a hybrid mode. They'll deploy two lightweight VMs on-premise, and those VMs will act as a relay to the Azure rights management services in the cloud. This will make for a very rapid and lightweight deployment, as I hope you'll see in the next video. We will enable seamless and secure collaboration, and importantly, we can do so without sharing directory information or having overly broad trust with others. So if I, Dan Acantoso, want to share with Goggin at Fabricam, we can do so without either Contoso or Fabricam having extra access to other people's directory information. And in the deep dive section of this talk, I'll go through that as well. And finally, RMS consumption will become free for the end user, or the consumption party in this case, such that in the B2I scenario, or even in the B2B scenario, the person who is driving the use of RMS is the person who pays, the publisher, and the other end doesn't need to have deployed or purchased RMS. On that last point, the notion of it just works is important to us, and we're working on self-serve sign-up. I'm not going to talk about that today. It'll be in a topic for our next webinar. In terms of reach for these products, the client side is very important, and we've created a far simpler and more ubiquitous SDK. This SDK will exist on 7 platforms. They're enumerated here: Windows Classic, Windows RT, and Windows Phone, iOS, Android, and websites. I should admit I skipped OS X or Macintosh. Those 7 platforms are critical. We believe that all of them must exist, and we today are announcing and giving you all access to the Windows RT, the Windows RT, the iOS, and the Android SDKs. And we'll have a lengthy demo that walks you through all of the capabilities and the applications we've built for those platforms. BlackBerry and Linux have been requested, and they can happen if the need is there. And we've also been asked by printer and multifunction device vendors for RMS support in those devices, for office devices effectively. And we can create an open source offer there as needed. These SDKs are very lightweight. They use a new RESTful protocol that interacts with the Azure RMS service. And as I said earlier, we may choose to make these open source. We're still working on the details there. I'll have more news in a month or so. The new file API is a complement to the SDK. If you consider the SDK the power user SDK, even though it only takes about 40 lines of code to use, the file API is literally 1 or 2 lines of code. If someone wants to decrypt a file, they just call the decrypt file API, and you now have an unprotected file. If someone wants to protect a file, they would basically get the templates, and then given the list of templates, let the user pick one, and given that selection, they can then say protect. And this file API offers a very high value service, which is it will protect the file to the best of its ability. And by that, I mean that we've implemented generic protection. So an Office file protected, we would expect to protect to the native Office file. If you protect a PDF file, we will protect the PDF file into an ISO proposed standard for PDF. And we're working on that with the PDF vendors in this space. And if you try to protect anything else, we will accelerate the ability to protect all file types by doing generic protection. So this gives us 100% coverage of all files. You shove in a .xyz into the file API, and out will come a protected .xyz file. We are doing premium coverage, as we call it, for about 90% of all files. So Office, PDF, text and image variants, all of them, CSV, XML, JPEG, GIF, TIFF, BMP, PNG, etc., will see premium protection. And by premium, we mean we've built viewer applications for all platforms above, And in Windows and on Macintosh, we will give you right-click UI to just simply right-click protect those files. That application will be able to consume that generic content and then render it in a way that maintains the protection policy. So if you said can't print, it won't print. If you say can't read-only, we will obviously offer read-only. If you let it be edited, we will enable editing over time. And we expect other vendors to build applications to support far richer implementations of our little app. So that's effectively it. These three items combined make for a radical change in the RMS offer. As I review these with customers, they really understand the breadth of the play here, especially with the broad SDK and generic protection offers and the ability to consume content on any device. So with that, we're going to start with the first demo. This demo is available individually on my Channel 9 channel, as indicated here, or will be merged in with in live here. So if you want to go watch it again later on, you can go do that. Just see the three demos that I'm going to show today. This first demo is about Office 365 and showing how it uses information protection. Now, the goal of this demo is not necessarily to brag about Office 365 or for it to be a turnoff for you as a solution partner, but rather to indicate that we, the base platform team for information protection, are being leveraged by the Office 365 team to offer a premium offer. As I mentioned earlier, if someone like TurboTax or any of you on the call want to build a premium offer on top of that offer, you will be able to do something very comparable to this relatively quickly. So the demo here is we're going to show RMS deployment in less than 30 seconds. It's actually far less. And we'll show turning it on in SharePoint and in Exchange. We'll show you some of Exchange's advanced DLP offers. And these are pretty phenomenal new updates to the Office 2013 suite. And then we'll also show how we can do seamless secure collaboration across Office 365 organizations without having to set up any complicated TUDs or trusted user domains, as they're known to RMS consumers. It's on by default, so Secure Collab is great.
Rights management is now a part of Office 365. To manage whether the service is enabled or disabled, simply go to Service Settings, select Rights Management, select Manage, and this will give you the state of whether rights management is enabled or disabled. The next step is to enable SharePoint Online. In order to do this, we'll go into the SharePoint Online admin settings. Once in here, you have to enable rights management for the company. To do this, you simply have to click Use the IRM service specified in your configuration. Select OK, and SharePoint Online is now enabled. So now, within SharePoint Online, we're going to create a rights-protected document library. I've gone ahead and created one, and we're going to call this one FabriCam Confidential, and we're going to restrict the access to FabriCam employees for this document library. We're now going to open a document inside of the document library. This is a new feature within SharePoint Online and SharePoint On-Premises, but as you can see, the FabriCam Confidential label shows up there, and it provides the user a description of the policy. We'll now open the document inside of Word, and at this time, upon downloading the document to Word, Word is going to request a use license for the content. As you can see within Word, the label is there, as well as the same description. And now if we click View Permissions, these are the permissions that we've defined on the document library. Rights management is also integrated within Exchange. A new feature in Exchange is the ability to protect messages automatically using data loss prevention. Within the Exchange Admin Center, I have gone ahead and authored a rule that will look for credit card information and protect it automatically, as well as give a notice to the user that credit card information has been included in their message. To demonstrate DLP and RMS, I have created a new mail message that contains a credit card number. Outlook then scans the message, notices a credit card number, and provides a policy tip informing the user that a credit card is inside of the message and will be protected. The recipient then receives a message with the rights protection policy applied and is able to consume it within Outlook Web App. One of the key capabilities within rights management in Office 365 is a capability to securely collaborate across organizations. In this particular case, I'm using Exchange Online and will be sending email to Jim using the Do Not Forward permissions. Once applied, I click Send. Jim then receives a message from Joe at contosohk.onmicrosoft.com and is now able to read the message. Notice that the Do Not Forward permission is now applied from Joe to Jim.
Okay, so clearly you saw that Office 365 has done a lot to change the face of RMS for the cloud user. Let's walk you through demo number two here. And demo number two is also available individually. It's a 12-minute demo, fairly lengthy one. But it will show you all aspects of protection SDKs, device support, and this new class of generic protection. So without further ado, let's just watch the demo.
Of the new RMS SDKs. Let's start with our brand new IP Viewer application for Windows Desktop. IP Viewer application supports both protection and consumption of all important file types. IP Viewer application is installed on this machine. In this demo folder, I have placed a few files that we're going to protect now. Let us start with the doc file. I will right-click here and click Protect. Protect is a new verb that we have introduced. As you can see, the IP Viewer application opens up, and it provides me a list of templates or policies that I can choose from. I choose the confidential policy and click Apply. At this time, the IP Viewer application protects the doc file behind the scenes. To ensure that the doc file has been protected, let's double click on it and open it up. Here, I can see that the file has been protected with the right policy. I'll close it. We now protect much more than just the Office documents. The new File API and thus IP Viewer also protects PDF documents. Let us see a demo. I will right click on the PDF and say Protect. I choose the template and click Apply. And now this PDF file has to be opened in Foxit PDF Reader, which is an RMS enabled application. Here. The PDF protection standard is an ISO standard proposed by Microsoft. SharePoint 2013 also uses the same standard today. We have also introduced the new generic protection formats to IP Viewer and File API. Therefore, you can right-click and protect any file in generic format. Let us first start with the PDF file. The admin can choose to protect the PDF file either as a native PDF protection file that you just saw, which will be opened through Foxit, or he can also protect the PDF file as a .p file. So if I had protected the PDF file as a .p file, and I click on this .p file, we show the following. We show that the IP viewer says that your version of Adobe Reader, which is the default PDF reader on this machine, is not able to automatically manage these writes. And I can choose to click Open, which will open the PDF file unencrypted in Adobe Reader. So I click Open, and the file now opens up in Adobe Reader, but unprotected. This is just one example of generic protection. Also, protected test files and picture files are a new set of file formats that we are launching today. We will build IP Viewer applications on all platforms that support creation and consumption of generically protected text files and picture files. Let us now show you how you would create a pretext file. So you click on the text file and say Protect. You go through the same experience, and now you have a pretext file ready. Similarly, you can right-click on a JPEG file, Protect, and you have a PJPEG file ready. Consuming a PText and PJPEG file, let's go through the experience. I double click on the PText file. It grants me access. And now the file opens up in the Microsoft Information Protection Viewer itself. we essentially are giving deluxe treatment, and we render this file natively in IPViewer, as IPViewer is an RMS-enabled app. Similarly, the pjfeg file also opens up in the IPViewer application. These two formats are going to get deluxe treatment for us, and IPViewer applications across all the SDKs will be able to open up these two formats natively. Now, this is not true for all the file formats. Let us choose the RTF file. You see the RTF file, if I click Protect and choose a policy, it gets converted to an RTF.p file, just like the PDF file did, if I choose to. It's not getting any special treatment from us, just like PJPEG or PTEX did. So double-clicking on the RTF.p file will again ask me the same question as the PDF file, and will open the file unencrypted in the RTF viewer. This operation of opening up unencrypted has been audited. So the administrator and the owner in the longer run would know that such an operation has occurred. Now let's talk about what really happened here. This IP viewer application works with File API and ADRMS client on Windows. IP viewer application brings all the policies and templates on the machine first. In this case, I was connected to the Azure ADRM service. I created a new tenant called ISV tenant 001 for myself. So when IP viewer calls File API, File API automatically protects the Word document and any other document that you have given. Now, just for the sake of the rest of the demo, I'm going to copy this ptext file from here. And I'm going to send it over as an email to a couple of other emails that I have so that we can expect them there. Thank you. Let us try consuming this ptext file on a Windows 8 device as well. I click on the ptext file that I received via email from Windows IP Viewer. I choose to click open. IP app opens up and starts the consumption workflow. I'm first asked to sign in. I click sign in. The application authenticates me and then decrypts the content of the ptext. I can also see the protection banner showing up here. I click on the More Information button, and I can see that I have View and Edit Save Rights. And I also see that the rights were granted to me by user 1. Now, I can also create a new file here. I click New. I write Hello from Windows RT. And then I click on Protection. The protection workflow starts. I am asked to choose one of the existing policies. I click Confidential and say Apply. And there, the file has been protected. I can click on More Information to see that I have full control over this document because I am the owner. IPViewer on Windows 8 uses our Windows Store SDK. Just like iOS and Android, the consumption and publishing workflows are built into the SDK, so it is very easy to build a Windows Store application using the RMS SDK. Thank you. The same scenarios work on an iOS device as well. Here, I have an iPad 6.1 emulator open with IP app. I click on IP app. It takes me to the familiar screen where I can add text. I click on the protection button, which starts the protection workflow. I'm first asked to log in with my organizational account. I put in the password and click sign in. Once I'm authenticated, I'm asked to choose a policy. I choose the confidential policy and click apply. And the ptext is now protected. I can also click on more information, which shows me that I am the owner and have full control over this document. Again, IP app is based on RMS SDK for iOS platform. The protection workflow is built into the SDK so that IP app has very little code to write to become RMS enabled. Thank you very much. I'm going to continue the demo on an Android device. This device is an Android emulator. I received the email here that I had sent from my Windows IP viewer. I have already installed IP app on this device. IP app is a sample application which uses an SDK, and it is available as part of the Connect beta. So ptext file is now associated with IP app. I click on View, which will launch IP app and the consumption workflow there. The first part of the consumption workflow is that the application asks me to authenticate. I click on sign in. I was authenticated, and then the message got descriptive, and I'm able to see the content of the ptext file. I can also see what privileges do I have by clicking on more information. Here I see I have been given edit rights and forward rights, that the template is confidential, and that the rights were granted by user one. I can also protect and create new protected text using this application. I click IP app. I type in some text. And then I click on the protect button on the application. This launches our protection workflow. I am asked to log in first. And in this case, I already put in the credentials. So now I am taken to a screen which asks me to choose from an existing policy. I choose a policy and click apply. And voila, the file is now protected. I can click on more information button here to go to the details. I see that I have full control given I was the owner. Behind the scenes, this IP application is using the new RMS SDK for Android. The authentication and template and the policy selection UI is built inside the SDK itself. So there is very little code to be written on the Android app sample application. Thank you for your time.
You can make use of PDF.pfile behaviors or a PPDF type approach. So that's in the hands of the administrator. And we've also showed you that deployed on all of the different platforms. So the next step here is we're going to walk you through the hybrid connector. I don't have a demo for this yet, and we'll just kind of talk through what it means to do this. This particular walkthrough is about taking Exchange and SharePoint on-prem or any other workload that uses RMS on-prem and having it use a relay or the hybrid connector to effectively talk with Azure ADRM. This is very, very important as part of the collaboration story, and so we believe that most customers will eventually turn on this AADRM hybrid connector. So in terms of a topology here, you've got your administrator, your user, an Active Directory, Exchange, and SharePoint. You may or may not have RMS or HSMs, an HSM, a hardware security module for holding your secure key that's used for protecting all your content. And then you have to the right Office applications, device applications, as well as PC enlightened applications such as Office or any other SDK using application. In the hybrid case, the customer is moving some of their workloads into the cloud. When they do that, Exchange and SharePoint users move to Exchange Online and SharePoint Online, and Active Directory is connected with what's known as Azure Active Directory. I'll give you a link to a little tutorial on what AAD is in a following slide. Basically, at this point, the on-prem organization is connected with the cloud organization, and so users and administrators can now interact with both environments. A user being moved to the cloud in this particular instance means that their Office applications and their Exchange ActiveSync enabled devices make use of those cloud resources. And then at that point, the customer has the option of turning on the Azure version of RMS or RMS Online. And RMS Online makes use of an important service that we call the Key Management Service. And the KMS, or Key Management Service here, plays a similar role to the on-premise Key Storage Service, or HSM, depending on the customer's on-prem deployment. At that point, the customer can take one of their RMS on-premise keys and put it in this KMS service, and I'll talk to the sensitivity of that operation in a moment. But that key now exists for use by RMS Online, and the customer now can light up all of these new SDK version 3 applications who operate against Azure RMS. So this is your classic hybrid topology as we move forward. This slide here breaks down the different types of customers with a bit more detail. So today your option is to have ADRMS on-premise. Some customers have it, some customers don't. Moving forward, customers, as they support cloud a bit more in their environments, have an option of being using one of these five offers. So depending on their readiness, some customers are cloud ready today and they're just moving full steam ahead with the cloud. They're able to use Azure ADRM right now. They can use Office 365 pretty quickly with your partnership. They would be able to use additional SaaS offers that make use of the Azure ADRM offer. And they're just good to go. The Office 365 offer is in market, and as we start partnering with you on the call today, we'll start lighting up standalone offers of ADRMS for you to use. And I talk about that a little bit later as well in the deep dive section. A second class of customers that is not quite ready to just go all into the cloud, I call here cloud accepting. These customers basically move to support ADRM by using the connector. And here's a scenario where the first little box to the left here is one where I have Exchange on-premise, I deploy the connector, I'm good to go. I now have the ability to do RMS. All my mobile devices support reading information protection. And I also can do very effective collaboration across other organizations that do the same thing, be they completely in the cloud or with a cloud connector offer. And this is truly seamless collab. I go through this in detail as well later on. Those same customers at this point can move up a notch if you wish and start using Office 365 and the SaaS offers that the people on the call here build. For example, it's not a far stretch to see someone like SAP, for example, being able to do an enlightened application that supports rights protection automatically across companies in the same way. Going down a notch here, we have the cloud hesitant group. I've got some of them are hesitant because they're fearful, and others are hesitant because of compliance and the cloud is just not ready for them. So I've got a little range here of red. At the very bottom, we start with a very, very minimal change. So this customer would support the Azure ADRM. So there is a cloud request here. But all they're doing is deploying a connector, and then they're bringing their own key. BYOK is bring your own key into our infrastructure. And I'll talk about the security we've provided here. We have a very high-end key storage model using HSMs in the cloud, with all kinds of facilities surrounding that offer. Once that customer is comfortable with that capability, they're basically in a space where they can have all their documents remain on-prem, all of their email stays on-prem unless they're collaborating with others, and RMS is just doing what I sort of nicknamed the key dance. And that key dance is a highly secure, highly trustworthy dance, but the content never leaves the cloud or doesn't, in the case of collaboration, it's shared from partner A to partner B and does not need to go through cloud infrastructure in transit. It could have been data shared via private networks or USB drives or hard drives that are sent or DVDs that are mailed in the case of highly secure collaboration environments. But the content is rights protected, audit trails are created, and all the benefits that you get from RMS remain in that very secure on-prem environment. One click above that, it would be for that customer to say, you know what, I'm also going to let applications that are built on our new V3 SDK that we're releasing today also access this infrastructure. So those mobile devices, PCs, Macs, etc., as those applications are written, they would talk to this cloud Azure ADRM. This SDK V3, just to be super clear, cannot run on-prem. We are banking on the collaborative nature of the overall data flow pattern and said, we can do this so much better in the cloud. We can make it highly secure in the cloud. And so our V3 of SDKs only works with the cloud service. And I'll give you a lot more detail about that. The V2.1 SDK is not gone. It exists on Windows. Exchange Active Sync continues to work. So there's no worries there. So let's walk through this in a little bit more dissection. So for the cloud hesitant, people can continue using the on-prem offer. That product we care about deeply. It's not going away anytime soon. It's enabled with Exchange Active Sync. And so any device that the user is, that the customer is able to use today continues to work tomorrow. They use Exchange Active Sync. 14.1 has IRM enablement. And the way IRM is enabled in Exchange Active Sync 14.1 is the rights protection envelope is removed at the server to maximize compatibility on the condition that the device has full device encryption and has a PIN. And so then the data is sent down to the device, and the device does enforcement of that policy. So that just works, will continue to work. Generic protection, the demo that we just showed you with the IP viewer and right-click on Windows to be able to protect and view files, that all works in this ADRMS. That's a big, big feature gain for this product. And it's available on all versions of Exchange, all versions of ADRMS. From Windows 7 on up, Windows 7, Win 8, and the future versions of Windows. So it's not just a server box product offer. And then we're also building an Exchange Transport Agent, and this Exchange Transport Agent will plug into Exchange, and what it will do, it will basically do generic protection on the fly. So if you attach a Word document and a text document to an email, and you protect the email within your company, when that email gets to the other end, instead of just the Word doc being protected as it is today, the text doc will also be protected as a ptext file as well. And that's coming soon. We don't have that in the beta that we're giving to you today, but it's actively in development. If you go the next click up, this is the click where you deploy the hybrid connector. You get all of the above, but you also get the ability to use a hardware security module, HSM-based key management offer. HSMs, for those of you who don't know, I basically summarize as a small special crypto processor that is wrapped in explosives and dipped in epoxy. So if someone tries to tamper with this unit, basically the keys are blown up. They're zeroed, so you have no access to the keys that are within it. We're working with the vendor called Thales, T-H-A-L-E-S, and Thales today supports 19 of the 20 largest banks in the world, as well as many other very key infrastructures like, you know, bank tellers, traffic airline reservation systems, et cetera, so that infrastructure we have built into the cloud version of RMS, and it offers three very key promises. One is we can take a customer's key securely and put it in our HSM such that we, our operators, not one of them, has ever seen the key. The key goes straight into the HSM using a crypto process that has the customer encrypted to the public key of an HSM transport key. So we never see a clear PFX file for the customer's key. That's part one. Once we have the key in our HSM, that HSM is capable of processing all crypto operations on behalf of that customer. So clearly we have an ability to abuse use of those key. So to make sure that the customer knows that we're not doing that, we've created or are in the process of creating a tamper-proofed logging system. What this means is that a customer will be able to see every activity that that key has performed, and those logs can't be tampered with a running hash, basically, so that if a log entry is deleted, the customer will know. And then the third part of this is something that I've termed here remote kill, but it's really sort of a time to live key model where the keys that the customer give us have a short time to live. And after a certain period of time, those keys are effectively deleted from the memory in the HSM. We expect that time to be between 2 and 4 hours. So if a customer decides that they don't want us having their key anymore, they basically revoke it at the other end, and all of a sudden, 2 hours later, we can't use that key anymore. And we'll have other options for removing the key in a more proactive manner as well. Second part about the hybrid connector is this enlightened application support. So now I can use an iPhone or an Android device and read rights protected content with any enlightened application on those platforms. And we're working with several vendors on applications in those spaces. And then finally, because you have an SDK on your mobile device, you don't have to rely on sort of full drive encryption as your protection security bubble. You can actually protect each individual data item that's sent to a phone. In other words, imagine emails sent down to the phone. They remain in a bricked or useless state until the user opens it and obtains a key. The IT pro will be able to configure key caching such that there is none, so that the keys are always in a bricked state. The content is always in a bricked state unless they're actively looking at it. And so this is fantastic because there are increasingly situations where remote wipe does not wipe cell phones. If you do a Bing search for Faraday bags, you'll see a plethora of stores that sell these little copper-lined bags that let you put your phone in it, and when the phone's in it, it can't be wiped. Those little bags in the hands of a cabbie make for remote wipe difficulties in the future. Okay, so with that, I guess this last part is Exchange Active Sync does continue to work, and so there's no issue there. You can all of your devices that do rights protection today, you can keep working, but you have this ultra secure option as well as applications mature. So let's walk you through a quick bring your own key scenario with rights management services. So I have a similar topology to what I had earlier: admins, users, AD, Exchange, SharePoint. And in this case, I have a key on-prem. So let's take that key on-prem and I bring it to the cloud. Now, this customer didn't have RMS on-prem. They just had keys in a secure store. That HSM for them may have been a safe. It may be the USB key in the top drawer of the CISO's office desk. Regardless of where it is, they have the key in what they would consider their secure environment. They can transfer that key to ours. Notice how the cloud HSM box here is half orange, half blue, because we are using HSMs as well, and that key was put in there very securely. RMS now uses that key without ever seeing it, and what we do is we establish a connection between the Azure Active Directory and AD, and RMSO relies on the Azure Active Directory. So this little picture here is important, because if two companies do this, my company can now effectively share content. A user in my company can share content with a user in your company without any additional configuration and without any additional disclosure of content directory or directory users. So that's pretty much it. Once you've done that, again, the same thing as we've talked about throughout this conversation, RMS applications built on the V3 SDK now just work and can be highly, highly secure. So this next phase of the conversation, what we'll do is we'll dive in a little bit deeper into the offer. In some ways, the past section was a little bit of a sales pitch, so to speak, as to what we've been doing and what has been enabled to make RMS a lot more powerful in the hands of a customer. This section here is about walking you through a little bit of the detail on the offer. So the first point to cover is, what is Azure ADRM? Like, how do we ourselves use this? Well, AADRM is a worldwide scale-out our rights management cloud service. We have it in different geographies: North America, Europe, APAC, China, soon, and then specialty clouds as necessary for the military or government, for example. We have the ability to create these geographies with relative ease, as easy as it is to deploy a data center. The second thing we do is enable active-active redundancy within a given geo. So for example, in North America, we have at least two data centers, and those two data centers are running hot, meaning a customer request could go to either data center. They're both always in full sync, and if one were to go down, the other one has the full ability to pick up the full load. We run them at lower utilization to ensure that we have this active-active redundancy at all time between two geos. Within a data center, we basically have scale units. And these scale units are stamps, if you wish, classic cloud service architecture. And it's a unit of, so you think of it as a team. Basically, they respond to requests that come in. And we can have many of these scale units running at the same time, depending on the load we see in a given geography or a given data center. And we can also have multiple versions of RMS running by having these multiple scale units. These scale units are load balanced. So for example, in an RMS scale unit, we may have 8 front ends that handle all incoming traffic, and those front ends are all load balanced within that scale unit. So a very scale out architecture. And then finally, this whole architecture is layered over a very powerful elastic compute fabric that is Azure. And we can grow it with swipe a credit card ease. So basically, if we feel that in the East Coast of North America, we're running a little hot right now, we could basically go from 8 scale units, going from 8 front-end web servers on our scale unit to 12 or 14. And then that's a very, very quick reaction time. The second part of the RMS offer is ties really into all of the other aspects that we Microsoft have to leverage. One is Azure as a base offer, but Azure Active Directory is a very critical offer that we rely on as well. And so here, the pattern, if you wish, of offering IP as a platform to you is as follows. A solution partner would basically sign a deal for a deployment in one particular instance. So you found a company that you'd like to do a deployment for. When you do that, you invite the customer to sign up for an Azure Active Directory rights management offer, and that's part of your offer. We have a simple wizard that you can integrate into your sign-up flow if you'd like. And what that effectively does is it creates a tenant within the Azure Active Directory, if one does not already exist. Chances are over time, these will all exist because customers will be doing federation and trust offers through this extension of the on-prem AD. But if one doesn't exist, we automatically create it. And then if RMS is the workload that you're enabling, we turn on the RMS SKU, and you're good to go. This whole operation takes minutes. Then the next step is if the customer is a larger customer, they'll turn on Directory Sync and Federation to ensure that two companies can now share secure, rights-protected information between them. And then at that point, you, as the solution partner, can offer value-add services such as the DLP services you provide, reporting, on-prem gateways, etc. There's a whole slew of offers that can be built, but you, as that solution partner, can now make use of this Contoso tenant's RMS server in the same way that they could make use of it, or any other SaaS application can make use of it. Let's walk you through secure collaboration, because it's been an important part of this conversation to date. Collaboration is really about validating identities. In a B2B case, it's about two companies willing to trust each other. In the B2I case, or business individual case, it's about me trusting a well-known identity provider, or IDP as it's often called in the industry. By this I mean, what does it mean for someone at Contoso to trust Dan at plastina.com, for example, or Dan at gmail.com, or Dan at liveid.com, or passport.com, or yahoo.com, etc. Which IDPs or which identity providers we trust is an important decision to make. We start with 0365 AAD Core Fabric Trust. So basically, any Azure Active Directory tenant or 0365 customer, which also uses Azure Active Directory, is effectively offered simple B2B collaboration right out of the gate. What's important here, as I've mentioned a few times now, is that Company A is not letting Company B see its directory, but rather Company A is letting Company B do a test through the RMS server for trust. And so let's walk through that. Sally at Contoso sends email to Fred at Fabricam. The contract, so to speak, between this information protection workflow is one where Fred at Fabricam needs to prove who he is in order for Sally's offer to be valid. In this particular case, Sally's RMS server is set up in Azure, and when Sally sends content to Fred, Fred opening that content will have Fred's application talk to Sally's RMS server, and it will say, "Who are you, Fred? Prove to me you are who you are." Fred will then go to our server and request a token, and the token will prompt Fred for credentials or do single sign-on, depending on Fred's use context at that time. And Fred will effectively prove who he is and then go back to the RMS server and say, "Here is my token from an IDP, an identity provider that I know you trust." And RMS will go, "Yeah, it's Azure Active Directory, so of course I trust that," and provide Sally with the ability to unlock the document for Fred, Sally's RMS server effectively. So that's the core flow there. Again, what's important here is that Sally didn't get to know anybody more than Fred at Fabricam, and Fred at Fabricam did not disclose the rest of his company directory tree to Contoso in the process of reading that collaboration. If you'd like to learn more about Azure Active Directory, there's this wonderful cartoon or animation that's been done also on Channel 9. I've provided the URL here. You could do a quick search for it. It just walks you through the whole ecosystem, and it's quite a fabulous little tutorial. And finally, once we've enabled one IDP, in this case the Azure Active Directory, we can light up others. And this requires specialty work on our part, but we have some of this work underway and feel relatively confident that we're going to be able to get most of the important IDPs lit up as well in the coming months. You know, maybe 3 to 6, 6 to 9 months for some of these. So, jumping gears a little bit, let's talk about the opportunities for partnership. These come from my engaging with lots and lots and lots of customers every day. Sometimes it feels like it's all day. And this feedback here is effectively gaps that they've said they have or problems that they want solved. Some of these we may do over time. Some of these we may not do over time. My lawyers generally advise me to never say what Microsoft will or won't do, so I can't offer any assurance whatsoever. But I know that these are gaps today. That's probably the best way of saying it. First opportunity. We need deployment partners. Many of you out there have been deploying RMS, and you've been running into the same difficulties that I run into when I interact with customers. Do you support iOS? What's your story on Android? How are you doing this? How are you doing that? What files can you protect other than Office, et cetera, et cetera? Well, hopefully today I've given you a clear indication and code that shows that we can do generic protection, and we're committed to delivering on 7 platforms at a minimum. So we'd like to ask you to work with us on a deliberate and methodical approach to basically 2,800 or so enterprise customers. I want to start this in calendar year 13. The MVP program is being spun up specifically to help us scale out. Our team can't scale out to that many customers, and our sales force is not equipped with the technical chops to necessarily help 2,800 enterprises do deep deployments. And so this is where, if we have sector-specific expertise amongst you, we can do a really good partnership in helping these customers get their information protected quickly. We can also, as part of the MVP program and as part of our skill set, help train you on some less obvious offers that can become very lucrative to deploy, turnkey offers. For example, recently I was in Asia and I interacted with some of the large telcos, and they've described to me a problem that they have where their employees take laptops into malls and sell phones. Well, they're collecting a lot of PII data on those laptops, and the laws in that country require that that data be protected at all times, and so they feel a little bit exposed. And so what I've suggested they do in that environment is they basically use the redirected desktop feature in Windows And by doing that, you do redirected desktop client-side caching. They're a mobile carrier, so all these devices are connected at all times through their 3G, 4G networks. And as a file is created in the MyDocs folder, that file is synchronized back to the server. And by using a DLP offer on the server side, such as Microsoft's FCI or a third-party DLP offer, for every file that's created that contains PII, the DLP application can rights protect it in place. And then the application at the other end, it will see the file change by virtue of the synchronization that occurs, and everything just works. Not obvious, but very, very powerful, and solves a clear need in many, many of our customers today. The second important area is compliance reporting and business intelligence. Providing rights protection is one thing. Letting a customer know they're within the bounds of compliance is another. Business intelligence is a big sector, especially with executives. It's an easy sell. For example, imagine a senior leader in your organization sharing a vision document and wanting to know how that vision document is being consumed by people within the company. Some of these are great opportunities there. In this case, the bullets in white here, customers understand their level of compliance and customers can more effectively run/lead their teams. These are really important scenarios that I think are very easy to show value for and help you get rights protection deployed in those companies. A more retrospective look at things is risk management or forensics. For example, I have an employee that says, I'm about to leave, I'm going to a competitor, sorry, sayonara. And in the process of doing so, wouldn't it be nice if that IT department could do a little quick check to see what activity that user has done over the past 3-6 months to see if they've been roaming or trolling different shares looking for data or secrets that you'd want to be able to prove legally they've had access to. So rights protection is a fantastic offer for this sort of risk management or forensic type approach. And again, the tooling here is pretty weak. Document tagging. There are several of you on the call that specialize in this space. We have done work specifically to support your needs in the file API or the PFile format for generic protection. So we'd love for you to look at that. Specifically, the ask here is users don't necessarily know what policy to pick. They know what to classify their document as. In the military, for example, there's tons of classification. But that shouldn't dictate what the terms are, how long a document gets to live, who should see it, etc. So the notion of tagging a document and it leading to proper policy being picked is something that customers ask for a lot, and we think we've facilitated that with the new work we've done in the file API. This is an area where if you have feedback, please provide it quickly, because the file API in 3, maybe 4 weeks will ship. So we want that thing to support your needs out of the chute. Let us know. One that I mentioned earlier, digital e-signatures. This is hot right now, particularly in Europe, given some law changes. So we'd love to see someone build effectively a nice e-signature offer over RMS and ADCS, Active Directory Certificate Services. It'd be trivial at the time a document's protected to insert tags, if you wish, that are signature-related. This particular area requires a lot of learning of the space, something that I'm not equipped to do at this point in time, but I'm more than happy to help with extending our SDK API space and helping us understand where to put the data. We're happy to do it. And one of the things that ADCS can provide is very interesting claims about the user. Their property information, we can create X509 certificates for you to stuff in the RMS payload. We can give you claims from Active Directory about the employee actively being an employee. We can give you standard title or all kinds of other information that would be interesting to make part of that offer. RMS for consumers is not an obvious one, but it comes up as a core point of data leakage. There are some of you who are on this call that are playing in the space right now. But basically, what this one's about is making RMS work for SkyDrive, Dropbox, and Box. These are places, cloud storage locations, if you wish, that are the modern equivalent of a USB drive. Many people will put files on these places to bring them home so they can work late at night. And they're effectively violating corporate policy. So a proof of concept we've built was to extend SkyDrive with the notion of a protected folder. So when SkyDrive showed up on a corporate desktop, you effectively have the ability as an IT pro to say, create a new folder in there called Contoso Secure Files. And any file that's dropped into that folder, protect it. And I've shown this prototype to a number of customers, and they just love it. If you'd like to do such an offer, you could do it for SkyDrive, Dropbox, and Box. You could do it for past and future versions. There's a great opportunity there. Likewise, when you deal with the business to individual case, data is being shared with others, such as Hotmail and Gmail users. Someone, a customer, once asked me if it would be possible to build browser plugins such that when the protected payload makes it to a Gmail or Hotmail client, if we would be able to render it. And I actually don't know much about the space. It seems highly plausible. There are several vendors who specialize in browser plugins that we might talk to. But if one of you wants to go after this, I think it's a great opportunity to enable protected storage. RMS overstructured and semi-structured storage is the extension of the unstructured storage space that we're currently in. Here, there are two plays. One is to build a server-side DLP agent that can help protect important data as it's found in SQL, as it's found in Azure Blob Storage or Amazon S3 and Glacier, or developer libraries that facilitate a developer programming to these. For example, one of my favorite backup apps these days is called CloudBerry, and the CloudBerry application is capable of backing up data to Azure S3 or Glacier. And wouldn't it be nice if the CloudBerry application protected data on the fly as it wrote to those storage offers? This is an area on the dev library side where there may not be a whole lot of work that's viable, but if you're in a consulting sort of business, you can probably approach the large storage vendors to help them with archival products. Which I guess touches on the next point, which is there are a lot of vertical product offers that would benefit greatly from having RMS integrated. SAP, Salesforce, Siebel are clearly three obvious ones as highly used high PII data stores. No report should exit those products without being protected, and in some cases some of the data should be protected at rest in those infrastructures. But an archival solution vendor, you know, EMC, Documentum, and there's a whole slew of others in this space. When an RMS document goes to sort of retire in that space, we should remove the RMS and appropriately protect the content in there for longer-term archival, because the RMS server used to protect the doc may be long gone by the time the doc needs to be retrieved. So here there's a great opportunity for these two solutions to sort of pass the proverbial baton and change the way protection is enforced. And so I'll be reaching out specifically to some of the vendors in this space to help accelerate that growth. And finally, just as an off-the-cuff one, there's probably a dozen more of these, but a number of customers have asked for the ability to share source code via RMS. And so there's a whole interesting developer workflow for collaboration that could be done here, such that common and modern development tools would be able to support rights protection. This is an area where if someone did it for Visual Studio, I wouldn't be surprised if the Visual Studio team would be interested in acquiring that company. You know, just saying that there are probably a dozen or more of these vertical spaces that have a need for protecting sensitive information that do not do anything today. Okay, so with that, let's jump into the dev side of things. So the file API, what is it? Well, basically it's an API that provides automatic protection of file formats for you, the caller, so that you do not need to know about the best way to protect the file. You blindly call protect and we do the job for you. It's extremely important for DLP, doc management, scanners, indexers, line of business apps, you name it. Anyone who's got the role of detecting that a file ought to be protected but doesn't want to be in the business of actually doing the protection, this is the way to do it. We have several workloads that we use that integrate with the file API. We talked about the Exchange Transport Agent that we're writing. We've talked about SharePoint in the demo 40365. Basically, SharePoint knows how to use the file API when documents are extracted. The file classification infrastructure server, as part of Windows Server, does use this sort of file API. It uses an older version, but we'll move to a new version in due time. And we have the tool that we give to IT pros called the Bulk Protection Tool. But a suite of tools will use this because it's just so straightforward. For example, you can imagine SQL Server, at the time that you generate a report using the file API to ensure that all reports leaving a database are protected to the same rights as the database itself. How to use it? I've pretty much covered all of this. The APIs are simple: encrypt file, decrypt file, and effectively it works with AADRM or the Azure ADRMS. And here specifically, this is one API that works without requiring the hybrid connector to be deployed. It ships as part of the ADRMS client 2.1. That client you have as part of this beta, and it will be available in full production no later than end of March, and we'll release it as soon as we possibly can based on some of your feedback. The details here are pretty straightforward. I won't go into great detail because you can take a peek at this in the SDK. Well, basically, the pfile replaces the old rights protected folder or generic file protection proof of concepts that were built in the past that we shared with some of you. The file format has changed. It's a new binary file format that's far more compressed. The previous format was an OPC format, which is a standard open container format, but the parsing of that OPC format was hard on mobile phones, so we moved to a very tightly packed binary format. We expect to change that format, so unlike OPC, please don't reverse engineer the binary format, because we will break your app, and we expect to do so quite frequently, so consider this early warning about that. Please use the file API. A file protected becomes a pfile, so file.abc here becomes file.abc.pfile. And that protected file container is the binary file, the binary format I just described. Our mobile apps will be available and will be capable of rendering the common file types: text, JPEG, PNG, CSV, XML, zip and cab. We will launch into the appropriate zip and cab offers. But basically, these are going to become specially registered P star files. So text becomes PText. JPEG becomes PJPEG. There's some powerful configuration options that are available to the IT Pro. If you install it on your single machine, it's obviously local only, but group policy will be enabled post this beta that will let an administrator basically define the behaviors across an entire organization. Generally speaking, the algorithm is very simple. If the file's not an Office file and it's not a PDF file, then do pfile. If it is an Office file, protect in native Office. If it's a PDF file, protect in the ISO proposed standard for PDF. And we're good to go. PSTAR files, PText, PJPEG, etc., are not exportable. So those files cannot be opened in an unenlightened application. Anything that was called a pfile is exportable. So if the administrator chooses to say text goes to PText, they should feel confident that it can never be seen in the clear, because it will only be viewed by PText enlightened applications, of which we ship one. You're invited to build others. And if the administrator said, well, I need more reach, but I want pre-authorization security, so until someone's provided the username and password access to the protected file, they cannot see it, they could choose text.pfile. Once the user is provided their login credentials to the system, then that file is opened in your default registered application. The source code, as promised, really straightforward. There's no error handling, obviously, in this simple layout. But effectively, the caller makes a call to get the template list. If the result is a template list, you know there's an RMS server available to your application and you're off to the races. If the error is returned that we could not get the templates, then you know there is no RMS server. Simple as that. Once you have the template, you could choose your template. You could pop up some UI to do this. And then finally at the bottom, if your goal is to protect all the files in a directory, you basically just do a simple for loop, and for each file in the directory, you call the encrypt file API with the file name and the template ID that you'd like to use, and a couple of additional parameters if you'd like to tweak behaviors yourself. So it's really that simple. The device SDK, let's walk you through that. This is really a very simple one. It's about RMS and Lightning formats that we've talked about. The SDK is an in-memory SDK, so if someone decrypts or unprotects a file, that protection removal process occurs in memory. File format owners can use this pfile format that we've created to really make a super simple protection scheme. So for example, just picking a random CAD program, AutoCAD. AutoCAD could choose to do simple file API protection of its file and create a pfile derivative. It would be great if an AutoCAD file, a DWG, became just protected DWG, because then old applications don't have any problems with the file formats. But if Autodesk wanted to be fancier, for example, in this scenario, they could create a modernized DWG that could be either protected or unprotected. In which case, as we showed in the demo, you'd want to make sure that your file format, if you preserve the file extension, is capable of rendering a warning or a notice to the user of the old application of that you need the new version of the app. We did this with PDF, so that if a PDF is opened in an unlightened version of Foxit or with Adobe Reader today, you would basically see a notification saying this file is protected using an updated version of a PDF reader. Click here to download the Foxit PDF reader, or any enlightened PDF reader, I should say. The next offer is just generic protection. We do the generic protection in this SDK. We've already covered this, so I won't dive into it anymore. The benefits and timelines, this is the easy SDK to use. MSIPC was trivial compared to the prior generation that required thousands of lines of code, but MSIPC still required a couple of hundred lines of code. Right now, the applications we've been writing show us needing about 40 lines of code to get this end-to-end. We provide user interfaces in these new SDKs. So on Windows RT, iOS, and Android, it's trivial to write an application that is enlightened to do this. Our file API today does not do email file type. It's on our list. It's highly requested. Parsing an RPMSG is a little tough, and so we have to rewrite a parser to bring to the mobile platform, so that will take a little bit longer, but we know the ask is there. And then finally, the SDK releases. We've given you three of them today. We encourage you to use them right away because they will be ready for release sooner than you think. We're thinking about 3 months right now, but if we're done sooner, we'll be done sooner. And then we're also starting work on the Windows Phone, the Macintosh, the V3 version of the Windows Classic SDK, as well as the likely to be open source website/embedded device SDK. Okay, so with that, let's jump into demo number three. Demo number three is for the developers who have been so patient thus far. They're going to get to see the iOS application sample that's been built. Dove is our lead engineer on that application, and he's going to walk you through everything you need to know to create an enlightened RMS application on an iPad or an iPhone. So I'll pass you over to Dove.
Hello, my name is Dov Shankar, and what I'm going to show you is how easy it is to add protection functionality to an iOS app. With just a few lines of code, you can make your app protection enabled. For the sake of this demonstration, we will convert a very simple app I wrote to be protection enabled. I'll start by showing you the app, go quickly through its code, and then move to protect enable it. As you can see, there are two buttons on the app. First one loads a file into the text box, and the second one stores the text box's content into the app's file system. Let's just do that. I've loaded a content from the file. Now I'll just add something to it. And now I can save it. Let's move back to Xcode. The app is comprised from two main methods. the onLoadButton method and the onSaveButton method. Over the next few minutes, we'll change these to read and write protected content. We'll start by declaring our MS View controller to be implementing the MS Policy Picker delegate. So I'll just copy paste the declaration to here. MS Policy Picker is a form which enables us to choose the template we want to protect the document with. MS Policy Picker returns MS Protection Policy Construct with which we protect the document with. We'll see more about this in a couple of minutes. For now, what I'll do, I'll just paste empty implementation for the delegate methods, and later on we'll fill those up. Let's look at the onLoadButton method. We'll use msProtectData, which is an object similar to NSData that is used to consume P files. So what I'll do now is I'll paste the onLoadButton method implementation. Instead of supporting plain text files, it will support protected files. As you can see, we use a file with an extension of ptext. We invoked create from protected file asynchronously, and in its completion block, we receive an instance of MS protected data. The asynchronous flow makes sure a user is authenticated and then communicates with the server to get a protection policy for the P file, after which it opens the file so it can be read. After we've seen how consumption works, we will move to publishing. Instead of saving files as plain text, we want our app to be able to save protected files. In order to do that, the user needs to pick a protection policy with which the SDK will protect the document with. As part of the SDK, we've provided a policy picker control for the developer to present to the user. The control fetches a list of policy templates supported by the server and presents them to the user. Once the user picks a policy template, the developer uses it to protect the document. Let's take a look at the save button handler. So what I'll do now, I'll initialize the policy picker form within the view did load method. Following that, what I'll do, I'll replace the implementation on onSaveButton method with one that will show the policy picker control. Lastly, what I'll do, I'll copy paste the delegate implementation, the one which I pasted earlier with an empty implementation. I'll paste it with the full implementation that does protection on saving files. Basically, we started a policy picker by invoking the pick protection policy. Policy picker will invoke the relevant delegate method with the protection policy that the user picked. Once we get the protection policy, we invoke an asynchronous extension method we added in the SDK to NSData that writes a P file. That's all the code you'll need. Now let's build the app and take a look at it. Okay. As you can see, the app is very similar to the app we've shown previously. The only difference is that just with a few lines of code, it is now protection enabled. When I'll click the Load Application button, an authentication dialog will open, and once I enter authentication credentials, I will be able to open the P file. This is the login login dialog. I'll just enter my credentials. Now I'll enter my password. And I'll sign in. Once I've authenticated, I get a text within the P file. This is the text I got. Now I can just add something to it. What I'll do now is I'll save the text to a file. Once I press the Save button, what we get is a Policy Picker dialog which enables the user to choose a policy template to protect the document with. Once I choose the policy, the document will be protected. What I get here is two templates that I can protect against. I'll choose the first one, click Apply, and voila. The file is encrypted, is protected. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Similar demos will be made for Android and WinRT and for the other platforms as we have them. And so those will be posted up on the website. This one here, the iOS one, is already up there as demo number 3. In terms of developer tips to get going, Microsoft Connect site is what we're using. Here is the web URL. All of the sample apps are available there. Please sign up if you haven't already, and then sign in with your Microsoft account. And if you have any issues, send email to the AskIP team at Microsoft.com alias that I talked about at the beginning of this presentation. The betas are there now. Samples are also there. We're going to post an FAQ. We've gotten many questions already, and we will write those up as answers and have them there. If you don't see an answer to your question, send email to our alias as well. And of course, there's the mandatory release notes with a couple of gotchas that you want to pay attention to. If you need test accounts, send email to us at the below alias, rmcstbeta@microsoft.com, and we will give you accounts for the Azure Active Directory test tenants. We have them all created, and that will enable you to create content. If you want to collaborate with others, we can also help connect companies together so that you can collaborate with other tenants and see how seamless trust collaboration is now. The video of the developer package, all of them will be posted on my channel, on Channel 9. I represent the team. Channel 9 does not support the concept of groups or teams, so I'm the face of our team, but definitely the work is done by a small army of very dedicated individuals. I'm not the lone ranger here. In terms of topics, you can go to microsoft.com/RMS. The website has a lot of information regarding deployment and learning for RMS. And then finally, we maintain two blogs similar to above, though my name and photo are plastered on everything. This is a team effort. One's a TechNet blog that's targeted at the IT pro, and one's a blog that's targeted at the developers, the MSDN blog. In terms of partnership, we just want to be candid as to what we think a partner is for us and what we think being a privileged member of the early adopter program means for us. Access to this information is meant for partners, in some ways partners with a capital P. We're giving out a lot of information. We're being very open about this, but we expect you to use and deploy Azure Active Directory, Rights Management Services, or AD RMS on-premise. Pretty quick now, we will have this list of close partners, and we will interact more exclusively with them, and less information will be published in this broader forum. We are expecting you to provide active feedback. Private feedback is more than welcome. On Connect, you're able to send us emails to just the team, or you can send email to the AskIP team at Microsoft.com alias. We expect you to be willing to participate in some customer interactions as opportunity arises. Today I interact with a lot of customers, and I can't always answer the questions for sector-specific behaviors. And I would actually like to be able to pull in partners on some of these opportunities. Some of these opportunities result in sales motions, and in those cases I would expect, and I expect this to not be an issue, but we would basically work together on addressing some of these needs. I've worked with many of you on the call today on closing some large deals that either you have brought or we have brought to the table. I expect that to happen a lot more frequently moving forward with this group of partners. In terms of Connect site access, this will be periodically reviewed, so the above criteria will be taken into account as we sort of keep or call the partner list to a manageable number. On the MVP side, this is a little bit different. We expect MVPs to truly be most valuable partners of ours. These are people who we basically entrust to carry our conversation or our message or our problems or support us in dealing with a larger scale-out type customer model. Many of you have been or interacted with MVPs from different groups. We're setting up ours. We know this to be a fairly lucrative effort, so we are going to be very selective. We already have a good number of people who have sent email during the conversation who are extremely skilled in the art of deploying and using RMS. Keep the names coming. We're probably going to look to 10 to 20 folks, and with those folks we will have very candid and early conversations as we design and create new infrastructure in this information protection space. In terms of a recap, so this is it. I think this is the last slide. SDK waves will be about monthly until we're done. Connect is where we're going to drop them. We're moving at a very aggressive pace to get these done. Many of you have asked for them. In some cases, some of you have been asking for them for the last decade. They're now here, so we are moving on this. Please enjoy and give us some feedback as soon as you can. I want to call out that Windows Classic, the SDK 2.1, remains the primary SDK on Windows. We've created V3 naming for all of the mobile SDKs. V3 means that a cloud service is required in order to use that SDK. Windows is the only platform that has an SDK that does not require a cloud service at this time. We will probably maintain that stance, though we are willing to revisit it in time. The reason why we're starting with this stance is we believe that collaboration is required by everyone. And given that collaboration requires a connection to a public identity provider, the cloud has a strong play in every company's offer. So that's where we're starting. But if you get feedback or have a hard time explaining that to a customer, let us know and we'll help with the messaging. File API, it's a release candidate at this point. We're pretty much done. We're going to release it in March as part of the Windows Classic 2.1. SDK launch, so those will go together, but we think it is done. So I would urgently ask that you review it, especially the folks on the call who deal with tagging and classification. Make sure that you've got what you need in there, and if you don't, let us know ASAP. Generic protection, we've given an API infrastructure and a set of showcase applications. We're betting on the ISVs for real nice apps. So yes, our camera app, our one of the apps that we build for all of the platforms will let you take a picture of your whiteboard at work and get a protected JPEG that you can then put on your SkyDrive. We will do that, but you could probably do a much, much better offer. And internally, we know that the Office team, Link team, and other teams like Skype, et cetera, will be able to do much nicer offers as well. But we're going to provide one to get this industry going. And finally, for business meetings, I'll be on point for those. February, March, we're going to be spending a lot of time with partners. We'll be doing one-on-one calls with a number of you. We'll be picking our MVPs over the next couple of months as well. And then we'll be able to do face-to-face meetings at various times through the summer. And I may also be doing some travel to Europe and Asia as part of other planned visits. So at that time, I may arrange to meet a number of you and help us work better together. So with that, thank you very much for your dedicating so much time to this presentation. If you have any questions, ask ipteam@microsoft.com, and we look forward to a very warm and lucrative relationship. Thank you.